morning. Today we're going to take a bit of advantage of the fact that it's midwinter vacation and we have a bit of a smaller crowd. And the second half of this year we're going to focus on some interesting cases. We'll see the very good geschmacka shailos that are a little bit less negeil lemaisa. But we'll take advantage of the smaller crowd and we'll go through it, and hopefully the olim will enjoy the shakvataria. Now, I'd like to just go back briefly to a concept we discussed 2 weeks ago. We discussed the sugya of tchilasa b'pshia v'sayfei ba'aynis. And what that meant is that if eshemer chinam, if you're a volunteer, you're watching something, you're not getting paid, the halacha is if you are negligent and something happens to the item, you're responsible to pay. If you're not negligent, if you watch it normally, and but nevertheless it gets stolen or an oynis happens, you're potter. Now, the question that comes up is, what happens if a person is tchilase b'pshiyah v'sayfi b'aynis? In other words, he puts the item in a place which is not secure. He leaves it, he leaves it in a hut in the middle of the field. Now, a fire could break out, and there could be a brush fire, in which case the item would be destroyed. You are negligent with respect to esh. However, it is very unlikely for it to be stolen. Ganovim spend their time robbing banks, robbing people's houses, which is where they usually find the money. No, Ganovim do not spend their time rummaging through fields looking for things that are hidden. So as far as Geneva, as far as it being stolen, it is considered secured. But you're a pesheya with respect to Eish. So the halacha we hold, tchilasa b'pshiyah v'sayfah b'aynis is chayiv. If the item gets stolen, even though that's considered an aynis, you had no reason to believe that it would be stolen and it was hidden in an inappropriate place. Since you were negligent as far as Eish, the halacha is you're going to be responsible to pay. Now, as we pointed out, that you're only liable if there's some sort of correlation between the oinus that happened and the original negligence. In other words, you hid the item in the middle of the field. A fire broke out in that field. Had you put it somewhere else, had it been guarded and buried under the ground, the fire would not have burnt it. So even though it's not any more likely for the fire to break out in the field than it is in your house, since you had no business putting it in the field because even though a ganav could have just as easily the chances of a ganav stealing in your house and in the field are the same. Since leaving it in the field was negligence because of Ish, once that happens, anytime you can argue that the ganav happened to have been in the field, he wasn't in your house, you're going to be responsible to pay. Mashain Kane, if you have an animal, you leave it in a field, you're negligent, but the animal just dies, it has a heart attack. Since mal hamaves malihocha malihosim, there is no difference if it would have been in your house, the same oinus would have happened, so there's no relationship between the oinus and the original pshia, and in that case, you are going to be potter. Now, another case that comes up is, what happens if a person is holding an item and the owner asks for it back and the person doesn't give it back to him? He gets in a fight with him, whatever his reason is, he doesn't return the item. That night, the item gets stolen, an oinus happens, it's gone. So the poskim can speak out, this you'd be chayiv. Even though what happened is an oinus, even though there's no way you could have protected it from the theft or whatever happened. However, you had no business holding back the item and not returning it. So this is another case of tchilasa b'pshiyah v'sayfah ba'aynis, and you'd be responsible to pay. Now the sugya and the context of tchilasa b'pshiyah is always discussed in the context of a shomer chinam. Someone's a volunteer. If he's negligent and something happens, he has to pay. If it gets stolen or if it's nanas, without negligence, you're going to be potter. What happens if you have someone who's getting paid to watch the item? A shomer sachar has a higher level of responsibility, and he has to guard it from geneva and aveda as well. He has to guard it from it being stolen or lost. What happens if he doesn't? He is not negligent, he's not a pshia, but he leaves it in a place where it could get stolen or it could get lost. But at the end, an oinus occurs. So do we say that since he didn't fulfill all of his chiyuve shmira, since he left it vulnerable to gneva aveda, now no matter what happens in the future, even if it's an oinos gomer, he's going to pay, or not? So Rishayim, or most Rishayim, say that in that case you're going to be potter. It's only when there's true negligence, when you're pesheya, so then if even though an oinus happens, if the oinus would not have happened in the absence of the pesheya, you're going to be responsible. But if you're not pesheya, it's just, even though you didn't fulfill, you completely fulfill your chiyuvei shmira, even though you left it vulnerable for gneva aveda, if, in fact, it's nanas at the end, you're going to be potter. And as we're going to see, when we discuss the sugya of shemesh masal l'shemer, this halacha is going to be extremely important. So this is the idea of tchilasa pesheya of sefer boinus. The next concept that we discussed, we began last week, is the idea of shemesh masal l'shemer. And that is, your neighbor goes away, they entrust you, they have hand you an envelope filled with cash or with jewelry, and they ask you to watch it while they're gone. So what happens if at some point you get nervous, at some point you decide you no longer want to be a shomer? So you go to your neighbor or to and you ask him, can you please watch this for me for a few days? So this is the idea, a concept of shomer shemasal l'shomer. You're a shomer, but instead of watching it yourself, you gave it to a third party and you asked them to do the shmira in your place. So the halacha is a shomer shemasal l'shomer is chayiv. Because you are the one that was asked to watch it, you have no right to give it over to another party, you're going to be responsible to pay. However, there's a machlokes in the Gemara why, what the liability is. And what the Gemara comes out is like this. The reason why you're responsible is, in theory, what you did was fine. You gave it over to someone, a responsible person, to watch it. The same way you're ashamed, the same way you were going to watch it, the fellow who you gave it to was going to provide the same level of service. He would watch it as well. He was a baradas. The reason why you have to pay is that if you give it to the second shomer, and what happens? So if nothing happens, then good. The owner will get it back. But what happens if it gets stolen or it gets lost? The second shomer will come to Beis Din and say that, listen, I did everything I could. I watched it. I was not negligent. But it was an oinus. A ganav came in, an oinus happened. I'm potter. Zotah Gemara, the owner can say, I gave to the first shomer, I gave you this to watch because I trusted you. I didn't trust the second person. So it's very nice the second person is coming and telling us a story. He's telling us he watched it well. He's telling us that what happened was an oinus. There's nothing he could have done to protect it. But I don't trust him. I was willing to trust you. I was not willing to trust the second shomer. And therefore, even if the second shomer is ready to make a shavuah, I don't believe him. The owner is entitled to make that claim. He is entitled to say, I don't trust that person's shavua, and therefore, the first shomer is going to be responsible to pay. Now, the Rishonim speak out that what happens if we have such a situation, you gave it over, you were a shomer, you gave it over to your neighbor, and it got lost. So the owner comes and says, you have to pay. Why? Because I trusted you, I didn't trust this other person. So you get up in Beis Din and you have a very novel defense. You say, listen, everybody knows that I am a scoundrel. I'm not a trustworthy person. I've been indicted 3 times. I've run a couple of Ponzi schemes. Now, my neighbor is a very erlich yid. He's a young man. He's learning in Kailo. And he's an ish mehemun. He's someone who everyone trusts. So how could you say, I'm emes li b'shavua? You gave it to me, you gave it to a crook. I gave it to someone, I upgraded the shmira. I gave it to someone who was more trustworthy than myself. Zak the mechaber, nothing doing. Because it's true, you might be a crook. Now, I don't know, you actually won't be Nemon in Bezdin, you have the Mesimatz Merasha. But even if we were to establish you're a crook, a person can say, listen, you're a crook, but this, you're a crook that I have a relationship with. I know who I'm dealing with. I know, whatever the reason, wherever my cheshbon was, I was willing to trust you with this item, and that's my. It may not have been wise, but it was my decision to make. You have no right to go ahead and give it to a second person, even if you believe that second person is more trustworthy. Even if you can prove that he's more trustworthy, still, the owner can say, "I trusted you. I didn't trust the other person," and you're going to be chayiv at the din of shemesh masal l'shomer. Now the achronim Claire, what's the halacha in such a case where the owner, if he comes to Beis Din, if the owner comes to Beis Din and says, I trusted the first shomer, I don't trust the second shomer, he's going to win the din Torah. Because the first shomer had no right to give it out to someone else. What happens if the owner comes and admits to Beth, I'll tell you the truth. Really, I know this neighbor is a scoundrel. I knew I was taking a big risk. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to ask this other person. I don't know him well. But you want to know the truth? In my heart, I really trust the second person as much or more than I trust the first person. So Nachus Tzvi said, he's not sure. On one hand, you say, since he really would trust him, so it's not a shemesh. So in this case, if the second shemesh is willing to make a shavua, he has to accept it. Or perhaps not. It's true he would trust him, but he didn't trust him. He never gave him that right, never made him into a shemesh. So Nachas Tzvi Bleib Sarachian, the Chacham Shlomo over here, says that it's as a Dabar Pashut, that if you know that you really would have trusted the second person, he says, then you have to accept his shavua. You're not allowed to play hardball. You have to admit that to Bezdin. And even though, again, this is after the fact, he says, Lamaiso, if he's ready to make a shavua, you have to accept it, and you cannot go after the first shomer.
The first shomer still didn't know that.
Correct. Which is probably the Nachas Tzvi's argument. But in the reality is, the second shomer is coming. He's making a shavua. He's swearing that what happened wasn't oinus. Since the Metzius HaDvarim is you trust him, and more than that, had you asked him at the time, can I give it to this second person? The response would have been yes, because you consider him as reliable or more reliable than the first. So then, it's true that he didn't ask permission. It's true the first shomer shouldn't have done this, but the bottom line is he got away with it, and you have to accept his shavua, and you're going to be potter.
Why did he make the owner make a shavua that he wasn't
There's no real shavua over here because there's a taina shema. There's no raglayim ledavar. There's no basis for a shavua. Maybe according to the chachos shlavi, you can be machrim that he can't take money shloik yudin. But it's not. There's in dina shavua that doesn't fit into any of the categories. He never did anything to show his trust. He's saying now that, you know what, come to think of it, perhaps I would have. Or come to think of it, looking at these two people, this person is more trustworthy. But back then, or when at the moment you gave it over, there was no such heskim, there was no such right to do so. Now this halacha applies, even if let's say you give it to a shomer chinuv, you give it to your neighbor. Your neighbor doesn't want to watch it. He hires someone, a shomer socher, to watch it. Now, a shomer socher, he's upgraded the shmirah. A shomer socher has a greater level of responsibility. Still, the Gemara says the same halacha will apply. Because it's true you hired someone. It's true a shomer socher has a greater level of responsibility. But if the shomer socher comes in and says it's nenas, he says an oin has happened, you're still dependent on his trust. You're still depending on his word claiming there's an oinus. Since you're saying, at memesli b'shvua, I don't trust this second shomer, so the halacha again is going to be the first shomer will be chayiv, even though he was upgrading the shmirah.
But that shomer chinuv was not for sheya. He was responsible in hiring the shomer chinuv, and then an onus happened. So it's almost like he should be responsible because an onus happened.
Excellent. So what we're going to see is if you can prove, you can independently verify that it was really an onus. If you have two witnesses that saw the onus happen, then you're 100% right. The first shomer is going to be potter. And the reason is, like what we said in the beginning, the first shomer should not have given it to the second shomer. But he's not called negligent. Not negligent, he gave it to a baradas. We have a problem that if we don't know what happened, we're forced to live, and all we have is the second shomer's word. The owner can say, I don't trust him. Maybe he stole it. Maybe it's still there. So it's true. So if we don't have any verification, the first shomer will have to pay. But once you can prove an oinus happened, then the halacha is the first shomer is going to be potter. But since typically you cannot do that, typically if the second shomer claims there's an oinus, he doesn't have witnesses, no one who was in the house when the house burned down, no one saw what was in the house, what wasn't in the house. So in a typical case where you don't have any way to verify, you have to trust the second shomer, the owner can say, I never trusted him, I'm not ready to accept his shua, and therefore the first will have to pay. Correct.
It's not really upgrading the shmir, it's upgrading the chiyuv that the shomer has. Not that the shomer socher does a better job watching the item than the shomer chinuv does.
Well, he does. He has a greater obligation. The shomer chinuv
doesn't mean that he has a greater chiyuv if something bad happens. Not that he necessarily does.
No, it's both. It's both. A shomer sachar is not just a shomer chinam that has an insurance policy. A shomer sachar has to do more to watch it. He has to be, according to some places, he has to be yoshiv and mishamer. And he certainly has a greater chiyuv in his watching. By a shoyo, some say the chiyuv oinsin is not more work, it's just liability, because you can't guard something from oinsin. And even over there, the Nesivas argues and says, no. Some oinsin you can guard against, a shoyo has an obligation to guard against those oinsin. So what's clear, at least in these achroinim, is that a shomer sachar is not just a shomer chinam that will have to pay if it gets stolen. A shomer sachar has a proactive obligation to guard it against being stolen. Now, some things are whatever is not possible to do. Obviously, that's an oinus. That's that. But anything you could do to prevent a theft, a shomer sachar would have an obligation to do so. Correct. It's neged hilchos poyolim. A shomer chinam, once he has it, he puts it in a safe place. He is no longer considered a poyol. And the halacha is, if he wants to be chayzer because he wants to use the rule kli b'nei Yisrael, he won't, because he's not doing any job. He's not a worker. He's not an eved. A shomer sachar that has a constant obligation to guard the item is considered a poyol. Is considered would have greater rights to be chayzer.
Mm-hmm. So, therefore, in the case of Shomer Sachar and Shomer, I understand how the second Shomer can even take this shvua at all, regardless of the question about the shvua. I appointed the Shomer. So, why is that doing the din in that manas regards to Shomer? Isn't it a din with the qualification of being a Shomer?
Excellent. The Ktzos and Nesivos deal with that svara. They use it to explain the Shitas HaRambam. Trying to oversimplify matters, the Nesivos learns that the point of Shomer Shemasu L'Shomer is, at least in a case where you don't have the At Mehemnesli, in a case where you know where the second person is trusted by the first, we'll get to the case in a moment. The Nesivos says it's like an Anan Sadi, it's Ki'ilu, you act when you gave it to the second Shomer, you were acting on behalf of the first Shomer. And therefore, it's like a shlichus, he becomes a shomer to the Baalim, and therefore he has the regular obligations and rights to make a shvua. Okay, so...
That would be like what
Shlomo
Purim says. Essentially, what Shlomo Purim says is that if I would believe somebody said you would have to use that moment to receive this of Anan Sahara.
He could, okay, yes. I'm oversimplifying matters. If we have time, we'll get to the Ktzais in a few minutes that... Okay, wait a second. You just added a knetch, which is really a halacha in a later simon. What we were discussing was you're a shomer, and you decide, you got nervous, you decide to give it to someone else. What happens if you're a shomer and you need to go? You get a phone call, there's a medical emergency, you have to fly to your parents, daughter, whatever it is, you have to leave. So there's a separate halacha, but this is a takono, that it's not mistavro, that just because you agree to watch someone's goldfish, you are now locked in jail, you can't leave your house. So the halacha is, at that point, you can go to Beis Din, and you can give the item to Beis Din, or Beis Din will be memana and apotropos in order to watch the item. That's in a case where you need to leave, and like I said, there's a takana, we can't imprison you simply because you were makabel shmira. And in that extreme case, you're right. You'll be able to use your discretion, or at least you should go to Beis Din and allow them to use their discretion to give it to someone else. On the other hand, in the absence of that kind of situation, the neighbor gave it to you. They gave it to you. They're willing to entrust their item with you. They're willing to accept your shmira. They're not, just because they accept your shmira doesn't mean they're willing to accept everyone who you trust. And therefore, you have no right to make this judgment call for them without their permission. If you hide it and something happens, you will get hauled in front of a Beis Din, and Beis Din will not say, the issue will not be whether you thought what you're doing was clever. We are going to use, is this considered a pshia or not? We are going to use, this is an absolute, You know, it's not subjective. It's not you try your best. If you did put it in a bit poor hiding place, the fact that you thought a ganav would never find it there, but if this is not considered a good hiding place, you're going to be chayiv.
He might be,
and that's why it's not going to be considered negligence. It's not going to be tchilosa b'pshia. But the problem with this hiding place is that if something happened, and things do happen, the owner has no way to verify what took place. Or worse yet, let's say nothing happened. It could be the second person just kept it. Putting it in a position where someone else can just keep it, and you have no recourse, is not you're not you aren't becoming chiyuv shmirah, and therefore, until you can prove that it was nanas, you're going to have to pay.
It's a human being. Bottom line can never be as good as a place, a safe.
You trust that when you give it to a second person, you are now subject to his whims, and if he decides to keep it, then you're stuck. So therefore, since you have no way of verifying what happened, when you bury it, you can testify in Bezin it was buried. If it gets stolen, it gets stolen. But if you give it to someone and he just decides to keep it, then the moment you hand it to someone, you are now subject to his goodwill. Okay, you know, I promised everyone we're going to get to some Geshmak HaShailas at the end. Let's try to get there. Okay, so the point over here is, if you're a Shomer, you give it to someone else, the halacha is your chayiv, but the reason why you're chayiv is simply because we can't figure out, we have no way to verify, we don't trust the second shomer, we don't know that it was actually stolen. However, if you could prove what happened, if the first shomer gives it to a second shomer, it gets stolen, it's nenas, and you can prove that it was actually stolen, the first shomer is patur. So even though the owner clearly did not want the second owner clearly wanted the first shomer to watch it, you disobeyed the owner's wishes, you gave it to someone that you were not authorized to give it to, the fact that you were a bad boy, you didn't do what you're supposed to, doesn't mean you're liable. And since, in fact, at the end of the day, an oinus did happen, you're going to be patur as long as you can prove that the oinus happened. No, because giving it to someone is considered, it's a certain level of risk, but it doesn't rise to the level of negligence. And once it's not negligence, as we said before, the din of tchilasa b'pshiyah of seviv oinus will not apply. So you're not allowed to do it. If you ask a shaila, it's usur, because the owner trusts you, he doesn't trust the second person, but it doesn't rise to the level of negligence, and therefore, if it is nanas, you're able to bring witnesses, you're able to prove it, the halacha is you'd be patur. Now, another exception to this halacha is, what happens if your neighbor goes away, asks you to watch the item? Now, you're the one, in this particular time, you're the person, you're the lucky one, you were asked to guard the item. But you know, in the past, when the neighbor has gone away, he asks his other neighbor to watch it. He's rogel lahafgir. So in that case, it's very clear the owner trusts the other neighbor as well. Why did he ask you? Probably because he nudged the other neighbor so many times, and now he figured he'll spread it around, he'll ask you. But since it's ruggle the hafkid, since we have proof that the owner trusts the other neighbor as well, so if you give it over to him, you don't have the sort of amnis libeshvul. In that case, clearly the owner trusts the second shomer, and if the item gets lost or if it's stolen, and the second shomer is ready to make a shvuah, the owner has to accept the shvuah and he's going to be patur. Now, for this to apply, you need ruggle the hafkid, and there are a number of conditions. For example, if the first condition is it has to be of equal value. For example, if you have your neighbor went away. Now, whenever they go away, they give over the family goldfish to the neighbor on the other side of the house, and they give the $10,000 of cash to watch until they get back. So it's true they clearly are ruggel lahafgid. They are asked. The person trusts both neighbors. But to you, he's willing to entrust $10,000. The other fellow is only willing to entrust a goldfish. So if you take the $10,000 and you give it to the other neighbor to watch, in that case, if something happens, you're going to be chayiv. The owner can say, it's true, I trusted him with minimal value. I didn't trust him for something that was extremely expensive, and therefore I'm not going to accept his shvuah. What? Didn't have a fashas, right? So that's the first exception. The second criteria you need by Ragel Lahafkit is that things you have is that if something changed in between, then it will no longer be Ragel Lahafkit. So in other words, if this fellow, whenever he went to Eretz Yisrael, used to always give his money to the other neighbor to watch, and this neighbor got indicted for doing whatever it was that he did. The next time the fellow goes to Eretz Yisrael, instead of trusting the neighbor who's in jail, out of jail, he gives it to you. So it's true, it may have been Rogala, and you give it you pass it along to the fellow who was indicted. So it's true, in the past it was Rogala Hafkid, but since things changed, it's no longer considered Rogala Hafkid, and you would not have the rights to give it over. And lastly, and this is a machlokes, but some places can say that it's not enough that this fellow trusted the second shomer once or twice. It could be you need three times. It has to be regilus. The fact that he did it once doesn't really prove anything. Maybe he was desperate. Maybe he was just in a rush. It was most convenient. He dropped it off by him. You need that it was done multiple times to show that he really trusts the person. But in that case, once you can establish that he trusts the person, then the shomer that gives it over to him is going to be potter as long as he's willing to make a shvua.
And
it's not a question of choshed. It really works the other way around. Normally, I trusted you to be my shomer. I'm willing to accept your shvua. I'm not willing to accept anybody else's. In a case where we have proof that I trust that other person's shvua, so then that argument goes away because I clearly trusted him. But to prove that, you have to establish that I trust him enough to accept his shvua under this circumstance. And the fact that I'll entrust him with $100, where okay, if he lies, it's not a big deal, doesn't prove I'm willing to entrust him with $10,000. So it's not a lom d'sho migu d'chasha amon chasha shvua. It's a practical question. Is it clear that he trusts this second shomer and is willing to accept his shvua as true? It's not mufurish. It seems not. It seems not, because even though at the end of the day you trust him, you get the money back. But l'maisa, you ask the first person to watch it, so pashas you would not be able to. Now another interesting case is there's actually a case that happened. Someone bought something from a store. It was in New York. It ended up the store owner sent it with a van or with a fellow who worked in New York, but he lived in Lakewood. So the fellow came. He dropped the item off by the buyer. The buyer took one look at it and realized that it was the wrong item. It was defective. It was wrong. He sent it right back. Sent it back. The item never made it back to the store. So the store owner called the buyer and said, listen, you bought the item from me. You never paid for it. So I want my money. The buyer said, what are you talking about? I sent it right back with this courier. So the courier ended up saying an illness happened on the way. It was nanas. So the question is, did the buyer have the right to trust the courier to return the item? So l'chari, this is a case. The buyer is a shomer. Again, we'll just deal with that perhaps later. But assuming the buyer is a shomer, he was now masar l'shomer. He gave it to the courier to send back. Shomer shemasar l'shomer is going to be is normally chayiv. But his defense was no. It's ragel l'hafkid. Since you sent the item with the courier, clearly you were demonstrating you trust this person. Once you trust him, then there's no sort of amos l'shvua. The seller said back, no. It's true, I trusted him once. I trusted him to get it to you. But who says, that's not ragel l'hafkid, I did it one time. Who said, I now trust this person for the rest of my life, you can use him as my shomer. So the ma'aseh over here, the Pesach Tshuva brings down that this case is different. When you're dealing with the same item, even though normally the fact that you trust someone once doesn't mean he's now ragel l'hafkid, but if it's the same item, he sent it with this courier, they already, that has been a ragel l'hafkid, and you can send it back with the same person. What? So again, it depends on the case. We have to deal with, but mekach tois, you do have a din of a shomer. Now, it could be if you never took it, it would be one thing, but if you took it and you realize there's a problem, and you dropped it off, you would become a shomer in between. Again, shomer chinam, shomer sachar, you'll have to deal with, but you would become a shomer. So this is the din of ragel l'hafkid, that even a shomer shalos of the shomer, if the second shomer is someone who the owner clearly trusted, then and he's able to make a shvua that something happened, the halacha is the first shomer would be off the hook. This is all assuming The first Shomer was a Shomer Chinam. He gave it over to another Shomer Chinam. Or the first was a Shomer Sachar, and he gave it over to another Shomer Sachar. However, if the first Shomer was a Shomer Sachar, he was getting paid. He had a higher level of Shmirah. He then gave it over to a Shomer Chinam. So now already he downgraded the Shmirah. The Rambam says, at least Kipshutzai, there's different ways of learning the Rambam, but the Rambam Kipshutzai seems to say, they're going to be liable no matter what. Because this is a Tchilasa B'Pshia of a Seif B'Ainis. Since you downgraded the Shmirah, that's a Pshia. So in that case, even if an Oinus happens in the house, there's a fire, there's an Oinus that the second Shomer could not have prevented, still the first person is going to be responsible. Tchilasa B'Pshia of a Seif B'Ainis. Again, if the animal is Mesa Kedarka, he has a heart attack, so there you'll be Pater. Even Tchilasa B'Pshia of a Seif B'Ainis is Pater in such a case. But otherwise, the Rambam says in that case, you're going to be Chayiv. Now, many say this is not called Tchilasa B'Pshia. Even though you downgraded the Shmirah, since you did give it to a Bardas, you gave it to someone who is at least a Shomer Chinam, so while you were not Makayim your Dinei Shmirah, but it's not called negligence, and you will not have the Halach of Tchilasa B'Pshia of a Seif B'Ainis, nevertheless, for different technical reasons we're not going to go through, they say that the Shvuah of the second person is not acceptable here. Because he's only a Shomer Chinam, he's not a Shomer Sachar, you've downgraded the Shvuah in different ways, it's not a Kfiras Mammon anymore. So therefore, many places can say at the end of the day the Rambam will be right, but for different reasons. Now this is all when you're giving over the item to a third party. Correct.
You said before that you don't say on
Exactly. That is the Chiddush of the Rambam. That is why most Rishonim argue on this point, and they all ask on it. The Achroinim that follow the Rambam all are Mechayev for technical reasons. They say if there are witnesses that there was Nenas, you're going to be Pater. Because as you're saying, there's no Tchilas B'Shir. But the problem is, his Shavuah, Shomer Chinam's Shavuah, that it was Nenas is not believed. Since to him it makes no difference whether it's Gneva or Oinus, again, different Cheshbainus, but that ended up 100%. Now, although you're not allowed to give it over to a third party as a Shomer, the halacha is a person has an item and he gives it over to his wife or his children who are Samach al Shulchanoy, assuming they are Gedoylim. The halacha is, there the halacha is, you're allowed to do that because it's understood. People know that if you're watching an item, you're not home 24/7, you're going to leave the house. And when you leave the house, you're going to leave all the valuables in the care of your family, whether it's your wife or your children who are Gedoylim. And therefore, you would have the right to give it to them and allow them to watch it. If something happens while they're watching it, they would be able to make a shvuah, which the owner would have an obligation to accept. Because by giving something to someone, you are implicitly trusting both themselves and their family members, because you know the Metzias HaDvarim is, they will at times give it to family members to watch. Now, interestingly enough, this is if you give an item to a man, to a husband, then you are implicitly trusting his wife as well. What happens if you give the item to his wife? Is there a din that if the wife is watching it, then it's adas the husband? Pamon Yizov says no. He says, Bishlaima, when you give it to the husband, so you know the husband doesn't stay home, so the wife is going to have to care for it. So you're implicitly accepting her shmirah as well. However, if the woman is the one that's generally home, so there's no hechacha, she's going to give it over to the husband. So if she does that, if she entrusts her husband with something that she was asked to watch, this would have a din of a shomer shemasa l'shomer, and in this case, she may be liable. Now what happens if a person has an item, he gives it to his wife, and his wife is negligent. So although normally shomer shemasa l'shomer, the first shomer has to pay. Here you had the right to give it to her. Al pi din, you should really be able to tell the owner, listen, I did what I was supposed to, I gave it to my wife, go after her. And if she doesn't have money, that's your problem. So this is a machlok is Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says nothing doing. Rabbeinu Tam says that a person is responsible, the first Shomer, it's true he had the right to give it to the second Shomer, and it's true if the second Shomer makes a shvuah that it was nanas or nignav, everyone's going to be pater. But if in the absence of that, if we know that there was negligence, there Rabbeinu Tam says the first Shomer remains on the hook. Now there's a three-way machlokes where this applies. Some places can say that it applies only to a wife, where it's a takana. Because the halacha is you can give it to your wife and the women generally don't have their own cash. Therefore, b'nei tikkun ha'olam, because every time you're watching something, you can always give it to your wife and she'd be potzer. So mishum tikkun ha'olam, that's why the husband is responsible. However, in a case of a shemesh muscle shemesh be'ragol lahafkid, there's no tikkun ha'olam, and there the first shemer is off the hook. Other poskim can say the exact opposite, that when you give it to a third party shomer, even though it's someone who the owner trusts, since you had no business doing it, you were given it to watch, so there you retain liability if the second shomer cannot pay. However, in a case of a wife where you had the right to do it, there you'll be patur. Other rachonim say that the machlokes is the same. L'maisa Aruch HaShulchan says in all these cases, the minog of the batei din is the first shomer retains responsibility. No, she has her own liability. She will have to pay if anything. She has a chiv to pay if she's negligent. She may not have money, but she has her own obligations. It's not just, she's not just acting for him. That has to do with going after the wife, how you'll be able to collect from the wife if she doesn't have any access to her own money. Now, this leads us to a very common shaila, and that is, what happens if you give an item to a store or to a craftsman, and you know he doesn't take care of the thing himself? You bring a piece of jewelry in, you know that the person doesn't repair it himself, he sends it to a third party. In theory, this should be a shomer shemasa l'shomer. You gave it to the jeweler to take care of. That's the person who you have a relationship with. He gave it to a third party. So if anything happens in the hands of the third party, you have the right to say, I trusted you, I didn't trust the third party. So and therefore you should be responsible for this third party. However, Gemara says clearly that it's not true. That the din of shemesh l'masel l'shemer is when you expect the first person to watch it. On the other hand, if you know he will not watch it himself, you know he always gives it to a third party to take care of, there you've implicitly accepted you're going to go after that third party and the middle person has no liability. Now, was in Meisim B'chol Yoyim, there was a cleaners or in yeshiva, and it was a drop-off center. The bacher who was running this cleaners, he wasn't cleaning the shirts himself. He was basically taking the shirts, bringing it to, he had an arrangement with a dry cleaners in town that would come, pick it up, and he would give it to them. Now, what happens if you give a shirt and it comes back burnt? So people would go to the bacher and say, listen, we paid you to clean it. You are a shomer, you're a shomer socher, and you're responsible for anything that happened. The bacher said, no, you knew good and well that I wasn't the one that was actually cleaning the shirt. You knew I was sending it to someone else. And if you know that I'm sending it to someone else, it's like we made it tonight, and you have to go after this other person. So there, I'll give you the fellow's phone number, go after him and go to try to get him to pay you for the shirt. Technically in halacha, this is true. Now we take this a step further. Let's say you go directly to the cleaners. You hand in a shirt. Now, you handed the shirt, let's for argument's sake, to the owner. He's the one that stands behind the counter, takes the money, and gives you the ticket. Who do you think is actually cleaning the shirt? You know good and well it's not the owner. He has workers in the back that are doing it for him. Technically speaking, if anything happens, he can say, you knew, it's true you gave it to me, I'm your shomer. But you knew that what I was doing is, I was just bringing it to the back of the store and letting my laborers take care of it. So if anything happens to the shirt, don't come after me. I'll give you this Mexican's phone number, find someone who speaks Spanish, and try to get him to pay you for the damage. Technically, al pi halacha, this is true. However, the Erech Shai says, at least in the Erech Shai's time, he says there's clearly a minhug that someone who owns a business, someone who has employees, takes responsibility for damage that his employees cause. And therefore, although technically in halacha the owner is right, technically in halacha, since you knew he was giving it over to someone else, then your claim is really against that last person. Since, he says, the minhag is you take responsibility for your workers, you're going to have to pay regardless. Okay, so now I'd like to go into this is actually what I was referring to at the beginning of this year. Ma'isa shahoya kachoya. A person went to Eretz Yisrael. So before they left, they had a very expensive set of earrings. And they brought it to a neighbor and said, can you please watch these earrings for me? These earrings cost $1,000. Fine, person accepts it, he watches it. What ultimately happened is the person was pesheya. He left the door open, he wasn't careful with it. And vayihi hayom, when the neighbor comes back and asks for the earrings, he sees one of them is gone. He only has one earring. Now, this set of earrings were worth $1,000. They have one earring. It's a custom-made piece that it's not easy to match up. So they go around, they ask around, and they find out that to sell to one earring, you can only get $100 for it. So the owner says, listen, I gave you an item worth $1,000. You were pesheya. You were negligent. It's now only worth $100. So I want to get paid $900. Sounds like a good argument. The Shomer says, not so fast. He says, what are you doing? I took two earrings. I lost one. You're telling me, what's the damage? $900. Now, if one earring is worth $900, then two earrings are worth $1,800, right? Now, we know already the set is only worth $1,000. So it can't be that each one, that the value of one is $900. He said, Adarabba. Right now, I have one earring left. If I try to sell it, how much am I going to make for it? $100. That means each earring is worth $100. Now, it's true when I have two together, there's a bonus. I can get $1,000 for it. But if the remaining one is only worth $100, so then I only lost an item that's worth $100. So that's all I should pay you. No. Wait a second. Wait. This one that you sell is $100. Which one costs? How do you divide up the value? But if he would sell that one, he'd sell it for 100. So what is? Wait a second. So what is the value? If the market value for one is 100, so it's true. You have some reason you're willing to pay 900, and it's a logical reason. But if this is the market value is 100, that's what you should pay. Okay. So let's go through this piece by piece. The Erech Shai says, neither of them are right. Because he says like this. He says you can't make him pay 900. It's clear in this case, if you want to know how much the owner lost, he clearly is $900 poorer. No one is disputing that fact. The set was worth 1,000, now it's worth 100. The issue is, are you a mazik on the 900 or not? Zog the Erech Shai, that beside Hadover, he says, it's true it went down to that. But let me give you a slightly different case. Let's say you only own one earring. You only own one of them. It's worth 100. But you know there's a fellow across town who also owns one of the exact same earring. How much is each one going to be worth? Okay, now each is not worth 500 because you only have one of them. It's probably worth more than 100 because someone will figure out that I'll pay 200 because then if I buy it from the other person, I'll have a set. So let's pick a number. Let's say it's worth $200 a piece. Let's say I go ahead and I mazik one person's earring. So I'm going to pay him the $200 that it was worth. But the problem is the fellow who lives across town, his earring used to be worth 200 because as long as there was another one of the set existed, people were willing to pay 200. Now that it's just a single lone earring, it can't be matched, now it's down to 100. Can that person, who I never met, I never touched, I never dealt with him, can he put in a claim against me that because I destroyed Yankel's earring, now Shmerel's earring went down in value also? Good. So the answer to the Chayra is, again, Yesh Lohim, but Pashas in that case, it's certainly not a mazik. You didn't do anything to him. And at most is a grama, it's not a mais in the gufa mammon, and it would be very hard to be moitzi mammon. Now take the same case where one person happens to own the two of them. So it's true it's one person, but if all I did is I acted on this one earring, the change in value to another earring, you can argue, is the same din of a grama. The Erech Shai adds that even if you're going to argue that this went down in value, he says it's hezek sheino nicker. Since the existing one doesn't look any different, there's no tangible or noticeable difference. It's just the fact that you have a idea that its peer no longer exists, therefore you will pay less. It's hezek sheino nicker, you will not be responsible. But, Erech Shai, you have to pay 500. Why? Because since at the time that you damaged it, you had a person had a pair that's worth $1,000. When you have both of them, when there's a pair, clearly you put $500 of value in one, $500 value in the other. So since at the time that you damaged it, each was worth $500, Zog Erech Shai, you will pay $500, and that would be the chiyuv. The Divrei Goyim argues, Divrei Goyim really says, there are really two reasons to argue. The first reason he says, even if I'm going to accept this logic, that it's Hezek Shein HaNikr, he says, Hezek Shein HaNikr is a din in Mazik. A Shomer, the Divrei Goyim is Mechadish, again, we'll discuss it more next week, a Shomer is responsible for Hezek Shein HaNikr. And therefore, since you're a Shomer, regardless of whether the damage is noticeable, tangible, you're going to be responsible to pay. Others, let me just finish. Shalom Eishev says a bit of a different svara. I think this is really what you were alluding to. And that is, when a person is mazik, let's say you take an axe, you go over to someone's car and you smash the bumper. The car value just went down by $1,000. Now, it could be, if you would look at the bumper itself, the value only went down $200. But everyone understands, when you smash the car, we don't look at the bumper, we look at the car. The hezek is in the car, not in this particular piece. So there's makom to say that if you have a set that can only be used together, everyone uses it together, if you look at it as one cheftz of a set, although it's not physically one item like a case of the car, but if it's one set and you're mazik the set, so then you look at the decrease in value of the set as a whole, and therefore in regular hilchos mazik, you'd have to pay the full 900 because that is how much this set, this cheftz, went down in value. There's a tremendous nafkamina between the two reasons. What happens if a person has this set of earrings, but he only asks you to watch one of them, and you lose it? So if you look at it as a mazik to the set, we look at the two things together. So then, even though you're only a shomer on one, since you know the person owns both, you were pesheya, you were negligent, one is gone, your chiv is 900. My she'en kein, if the issue is hezek she'en nikr, but we're going to the divrei goyim that a shomer is chayav on hezek she'en nikr, a shomer is only responsible for hezek she'en nikr on the item that he is a shomer on. So if he's a shomer on both earrings and he loses one, so then he's responsible for the hezek she'en nikr and the remaining one, and he'll have to pay the 900. My she'en kein, if he was only a shomer on one of them, so then the hezek she'en nikr on the other half would, even he doesn't have a din of a shomer on, and in that case you'd be pater. I'll just end off with a story, which we'll have to discuss next week. But a ma'aseh shehayah, when a person borrowed a house for Shabbos, he actually borrowed it for someone who was coming for a third person. Person comes in, plugs in his hot pot, and he realizes after Shabbos this particular hot pot was defective, and it burnt a hole straight through the counter. They have to replace the counter. What? Through the countertop. It was a Formica countertop. Now, when they came to repair the countertop, what they discovered was, this is an older kitchen, and this company was no longer in business. They could not match up this particular countertop. So what they had to do then is, there was this counter, there was an island, there was a peninsula, there were five or six different pieces, there was a backsplash, and now, because of this damage to this one area, they have to go ahead and replace the entire backsplash, all the countertops in the kitchen. So you have a very similar fight. The mazik says, I damaged this piece. This piece cost $300 to replace. The nizik says, what do you mean this piece? You destroyed my kitchen. I now have to go ahead and spend a few $1,000 replacing all of the formica, everything here. So this would appear to be telling the same question. We'll have to discuss in a future week whether it's actually true.